Lord, we just thank you that you pursue us with your great love. It is furious for us. It is relentless. It is reckless. It calls us. It shapes us. It transforms us. It is your love which sent Jesus into the world to rescue and save and restore and redeem. Not only us as individuals through a saving relationship with our Lord, but indeed to restore all of creation back to yourself. Lord, we thank you that you keep coming. You keep moving into our lives. And Lord, in this moment, we just offer up a sacrifice of praise to recognize that you are our God. And we thank you that you have delivered us. We praise you, our God, that you transcend time and space. You build your people up, whether we're gathered or whether we're scattered. That your love remains, it is true, it is sustaining, and it is for all time. We praise you, our God. We lift you high here this morning. Amen. Well, once again, friends, as we gather in this unique way online, wherever you might be, welcome. My name's Kynan, and I'm the lead pastor here at Hope Valley Church. And due to the restrictions in South Australia, we thought, for us, we can make it known. We'll come on church online this weekend. We pray that we'll be able to get back together in the future, and that will be something which we can enjoy being in fellowship. And so most of you will be with others, and so we encourage you to interact a little bit throughout this service. Others of you are just on your own, and where our hearts are with you because we know that you like to come and be in worship because it brings you into fellowship with others. What we do want to do is I'm going to interact with you a little bit more. And so we have our online host, Pastor Scott, and he's right there. And what I'd like you to do right now on the chat, if you're able to get onto the chat, is let Scott know who it is that you are watching church with right now. And kind of just type it in if you're with your mum, your dad, if you're with your brother or sister, whatever way, just let Scott know who it is that you are with, and so he'll be able to interact with you in that way. Just a couple of things. Through this next week, Out of the Valley, which is our church newsletter, will be coming through to you. That'll be available on our app, and you can access that. When it comes out, that's going to have all our programming for the next term in terms of youth and young adults, a lot of the kids' events, and the things which happen with our seniors as well. We are putting that out in faith that we're going to be able to meet and gather kind of after that holiday break and get into life together in its ministries. Of course, we continue to be an online church, and so we have people gathering in many different places who aren't from the Hope Valley region. So a welcome to you. If you'd like to connect in further, we could create online community groups and send in your details, and we can do that. The cool thing about the app now, friends, is that if you open it up, you can see that there are places where if you're new, you can put your details in and you connect with us. We also have a space there which is for prayer and care. If you'd like prayer, click the button, go through to the form, put in your prayer need or praise point, and that form will come through to our team, and we can then, you know, pray with you for the things that God is placing on your heart. There's also a care form. If you want to inform us of something or an extended point of care, then fill in that care form and you can indeed connect into community in that way. I just want to say again that our ministry team is here to support you in whatever way we can, and we want to be able to continue to be God's people, His church, in this community as much as we possibly can during this time. We're going to pause for a moment and receive our offering. As we do, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are drawn together through new life in Jesus. We thank you that we can praise your holy name. We thank you that we can know you personally. And we, Lord, we thank you that we can be on mission together, sharing of your love. Lord, what a joy it is to be able to contribute in the grand story that you are unfolding in our world and through our local church. And Lord, we bring our offerings this morning as a proportion of what you've first given us. And we bring it gladly and we bring it joyfully. And Lord, in the unique way, the divine way that you do, may it be used to further your mission in the world, to make your name more known. for it to change lives, for it to bring forth hope and life and light into this world. Lord, we thank you that you hear our prayers, the prayers of our heart. We thank you that you are active. We praise you that you are the living God. You are not distant, but you are close. Lord, we thank you that your kingdom is breaking in. And we ask that more of your kingdom would break in around our world, bringing peace, bringing healing. We pray that your kingdom would break in, that hearts might be turned to you in salvation, that truth would find its way in. Lord, we know that you are present and active. Stir in our world today, we pray. And as we give this offering, we give it faithfully and trusting you that great things will happen in your name. And all of God's people, wherever they were, said, Amen. Well, we finish up this series called Only Love. It's the final Sunday that we've been sitting in this series. As much as it's the final Sunday that we have on this great number of weeks that we've had, it is something which is to continue. As I've said so often, our God is defined by love, and we, as God's people, are the only institution or organization, if you like, which actually has love its very definition. And so it's not to stop with this Sunday, but it's something which is to continue well into the future. In fact, when things start to go awry, it is what we come back to. It is what sharpens us. It is what refines us, which holds us true. Now, children, I just want to let you know that you can engage in this message as well. So at this point, you're probably starting to drift off wherever you are. I want to kind of keep you engaged because there's going to be opportunities where you can connect in with this message as well. You know, we are called to love the world around us and to reach out in love. We know that. But all that really takes second place if we don't have it rolling well with those closest to us. If we don't have love rich and deep with God, if we're not having a deep sense of how to love ourselves well, if we're not knowing how to grow in our love with our spouse and within families, with our kids, that if those things aren't going right, it seems all the other great grand ideas seem to fall away. That if we don't get that kind of going right, all the other stuff doesn't seem to matter. And we are also called to love deeply within our Christian community. This morning, I want to help you. I want to share with you the five ways to love. Now, these five ways are well-known paths. And just as a gifted musician will practice scales and a champion swimmer will keep doing lap after lap, practicing their turns, so it is with love. That keep on these well-known paths, keep doing the basics well, and the rest should follow. When we walk these paths, it should lead us to the place where you actually want to be. For in the end, love is what remains. Now we see in the action that our Father in heaven took in his love for the world was an involved action. He came into this world and he was present. He was flesh on the ground. And when you see this in Jesus, that God says, I'm going to make myself known in the embodiment of love in the world. That's how he wanted to be known. What do you want to be known for? 1 Corinthians states it very clearly. You can speak well. You could be powerful. You could be the smartest person in the world. You could be a martyr. You could be a mover and a shaker. But essentially, who gives a rip? If there's no love, the scripture says, there is no thing, there is nothing. That is why this foundational building blocks really matter, why these paths matter, these five ways matter. The scripture says that we are to be rooted and grounded in love. This is where we truly comprehend life. We grow in knowledge, and it's this place that we find wisdom and fullness of God. It was summarized in Jesus' teaching, in the Great Commandment. In Matthew 22, from verses 34 through to 39, Jesus is challenged with these words. The Pharisees come to him, heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, and they gathered together, and one of them, who was a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. He said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like that. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Jesus keeps it simple in a supremely profound way as he shares this teaching about love. We have law, friends, because love gets broken. We have a need for prophets because love is not allowed to speak. And here it is all fulfilled. God speaks through Jesus, fulfills the law and the prophets. He sends Jesus as a gift to the world. He is the affirming word of God, became flesh in real time, touching and ministering to people in love, serving them humbly. In fact, he showed the way to love. What he said, he lived out in action. In this Jesus, he's personable, relatable, selfless, a servant, a healer, a friend, a brother, a teacher, an example, fully God, fully human. And for we to live is to live with the fullness of love exhibited to us in Jesus, personally, and then living this out. Jesus shows this way, a love which holds, a love which breaks through, and a love which defines, and a love which brings transformation. The reality is that sometimes we think God came in his love to judge, but it's not the case. He came to change us and to save. And we are to love in this way. We are called to it as a high calling, and we are to action this love out in our world. Newhoff said this, "Very few people get judged into life change. Many people get loved into it." And so as we finish off this series, I'm going to talk about these five ways to love. To do that, we're going to interact a little bit here this morning. Last week, we had some fun with Would You Rathers. I'm going to use that here for a moment as well. And those few of our production team who are here this morning, you can interact with this as well. Would you rather spend money on a gift or on an experience? Who chose a gift? Who chose an experience? Okay. Would you rather a long bear hug or a card full of complimentary words? Who wanted a bear hug? Who wanted a card full of complimentary words? Okay. Okay, here's one. Would you rather make your spouse a date night meal or sit on the couch cuddling up, watching a movie and ordering Uber Eats? Who would rather make their spouse a date night meal? Who would prefer ordering Uber Eats and cuddling in on the couch? Okay, the cuddling goes with it, right? Okay, would you rather love be impulsive or planned? Who would like it to be impulsive? Who likes it planned? Remember, you can't use the words, "it depends." Would you rather Jesus did more in you or Jesus did more in the world? And that's touching you, isn't it? That's a bit more theological. Where's that one going? Okay, who would prefer Jesus did more in you or Jesus did more in the world? Okay, it's interesting. For love touches us and transforms us, and it's designed to touch the world. Some years ago, back in 1992, a book was published called The Five Love Languages. It was written by Dr. Gary Chapman, and the interesting thing is that it has remained in the bestsellers list since then, all the way back to last century. 11 million copies have been sold. I don't know whether how it's probably an audio book now or distributed in some other way. And it's been translated into 49 other languages. The 2015 edition consistently ranks in the top 100 sellers on Amazon.com. And the book is often in the top five books on the New York Times bestseller list. In the dozens of marriages that I have performed and in the pre-marriage counselling, and then sometimes following up with couples, I almost always reference the book called The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. It is a fantastic way to understand how to love. For what it does is it allows people to connect. It allows people to work things through and understand each other far more. And friends, when you feel loved in that way, you'll find that you have the capacity to love this world that God loves so much in a much fuller way, because it makes things right with those who are closest to you, with God, within yourself, and understanding, with your immediate family, within your Christian community, and then in your workplace and beyond. Now, there's five love languages, or five ways to love, that Gary Chapman talks about. And they are this: gifts, acts of service, quality time, physical touch, and words of affirmation. Now, the base premise of this is that most of us have a primary way that we give and receive love. That out of these five, there's one which resonates most strongly with us as an individual. And then because that resonates with us, so that's the way in which we feel loved if we receive that love language or that way to love, that we tend to then love out in the same love language. Now, without a greater awareness, this can produce a disconnect. So you could have the love language, say, of quality time, but the people that you relate to or the person close to you might have a love language of acts of service. And so as much as you're expressing love in the language that you understand, the two may not meet. And the understanding that it gives to us then is that if you understand the love language of another, you can love them in that way. And if the other understands your love language, they can relate to you in that way. Your love tank remains full, and you are able to operate in a much fuller way. Friends, this understanding I have seen save so many relationships. When people understand this and seek to connect in this way and talk about it, I have seen relationships which were very loving but disconnected come and find the deeper connection and then deepen in very rich and real ways. My wife and I, we have different love languages. And I can tell you that discovering what her love language was some years ago has saved us a lot of energy trying to stay connected, but has also deeply enriched our relationship in many ways. Her knowing my love language has kept us very deeply connected. And after the years that we have been married, a couple of decades now, we look forward enthusiastically for the years ahead as we grow with each other. The incredible thing about this understanding of these five ways to love is that it communicates across many relationships. It actually improves culture, brings deeper understanding to people, allows greater enjoyment in the family and in the workplace, and in other spheres of life where we find ourselves relating to others. So let's talk about each of these in a small part. Let's talk about gifts, for example. Now, gifts are often reserved for birthdays, Christmas, other anniversaries, and so on. But for those who have this as a primary way that they give and receive love, I can assure you that they are open to a gift at any time, that it's not just reserved for those special occasions. Let me ask you these two questions. What is the best gift that you have ever received? Take a moment. Those here, the best gift you've ever received. You could type that in and let Scott know, and he can give you a gift later on. Scott's our online host. He's making a list as we speak, asking for a budget. And here's a subsequent question which you want to think about. Why is a gift special? Well, a gift is special because it means that you are thinking about another person when you're not in their direct line of sight. It means you are considering them. Now, for those who have the love language of gifts in particular, it doesn't need to be a grandiose, magnificent gift. It can be something small and thoughtful, which is given at obscure times or at different times. And all it is communicating is that I've been thinking of you away from when we are just inside of each other. Now, for those who have the love language of gift and gift giving, well, if you're married to one, you're in luck because you're going to get some great gifts. But you always need to remember that the person who has the love languages of gifts will have their love tank filled when you not only just remember it on those special occasions, but in those little times. When you're out, it can be simply a gift of a card or a chocolate or a flower. It can be something small. It can be a surprise. It's when they're not expecting it. It fills up their love tank. Do you have anyone in your life whose love language is gifts? Do you know it? Do you live it out? The second love language, which I'm going to talk about, is acts of service. Now, this is so beautifully biblical because we understand that Jesus came to serve, that God knew that the way into the kingdom was through service. And Jesus came and it was an act of love on God's action. We know that Jesus washed the dusty feet of his disciples, a basin and a towel, and washed them there. It was an act of deep love. And actually taught that those who serve will be great in the kingdom of God. Those who live out of this way of love, they serve others to show their love. And it's incredible. They just see what needs to be done for another and they come and get it done. Acts of service also require thought, planning, time, effort, and energy. Now, my incredible wife, Rachel, has this as her highest love language. Now, if you know Rach, you'll know that she has a servant's heart and she is performing acts of service, seen and unseen time and time again. She is always ready to serve. She serves our children in amazing ways, displaying her love for them. She serves her church community that she loves so much. This love language runs high. I think it kind of comes down through the family. My father-in-law excels in this way of love as well. I need to remember that because acts of service isn't my primary love language, but I know that it meets them in profound ways. So it's much better for me to do something for my father-in-law rather than go up and put my arm around and say, "Hey, go on, Pete," because he kind of freezes up and tries to push me away. We have a bit of fun with that. There have been occasions when our kids have taken it upon themselves to clean up through the house unprompted. And when they've done that, and Rach and I have come home, and Rach walks through the house and sees that things have been tidied, put away, the bench is clear, the house just right. Wow, it means so much to her. And because it means so much to her, friends, it means so much to me. There's the old adage, it's not biblical, but it should be. Happy wife, happy life. Here's a question. Who do you know who expresses love in this way through acts of service? Okay, the next way of love which I want to talk about is quality time. Quality time would be described as undistracted time. Those who love in this way thrive when they have been able to have undistracted time. There's not things crashing in. Now, for some of us, time is the commodity you often feel that you come up short on. Life is defined by busy, rush schedules, and the mind being occupied with a multitude of thoughts all pushing in. The thought of quality time is a luxury. And the thought that you need to give quality time to someone else who might be their love language, you go, how am I going to fit that in the schedule? But the reality is that quality time is such a beautiful love language because it brings you deep into the presence of another person. In fact, Jesus led and equipped his disciples through this means. He would gather them, come away with me. And it was there that he'd talk about life, undistracted from the crowds, the schedule, the presses. He'd come and he'd spend time with them. Then he'd break off and they'd be down into smaller groups, the ones and the twos. Jesus used quality time in a very powerful way so that life would be enriched. The problem is, friends, we live in a device-rich world. The mobile phone speaks to us more than anyone or anything and breaks into the quality time that we are to have with God and with each other. So we need to be aware of how do we get rid of the distractions? How do we break free from them? How do we move away so that we can have our undivided attention with those that we love for that when we have with God? Now, as you know, the Brooks family, I have a big family, 4 kids, 3 of them teenagers. Now, the thing is, I can start having quality time with one of them, but as soon as I start having a one-on-one, it seems like there's a magnetic gravitational pull. Others start to just come along. Now, I think there's a house, everyone can have their space, but as soon as I start meeting with one, it's like, here they all come. It's like it just sucks them in. In they come. And I think, oh, how do we create some space? Now, I have a daughter who her number one language is quality time. Now, in a family which is busy, schedule is moving around, that can easily be passed over. And if it's missed, affects her deeply. So to have quality time, you have to be very intentional. You have to create the space. This June long weekend just gone, I was able to get away for a couple of days and I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll take the Thursday and Friday and even have some more space and I can be with God, still my heart, be refreshed. On the Thursday morning, just about ready to go, my daughter woke and she said, I feel sick, I can't go to school, I can't do any more. I've got no energy. I'm tired. So I said to Rach, Rach, what if we offered Izzy to come with me to Port Vincent? And so I went to Izzy. I said, Izzy, how would you feel about taking these 2 days and spending them with me and we head over and have some time together, just you and me? Well, it was amazing how she started to feel better. The energy came back and we had this wonderful drive where we didn't have any music on. I just drove and I listened all the way there. And then on the Monday, I listened all the way back. But I can assure you, as much as I was saying, well, yes, my daughter here this time, and to see her use that so well and connect, it was wonderful for me in a world which is busy and rushed to set that time aside, and to have that was so rich for me. So the holidays are up. And parents, you'll be thinking through, what do we do with kids during this time? Find a project. Find ways that you can be undistracted. Go and do something together. For the kids in your life, quality time is so rich. And the key to making this way of love work is to be present and available and to really stay in the moment. The next way of love that Gary Chapman talks about is physical touch. Now, we see that Jesus ministered using physical touch. He let the children come to him and he embraced them and said, "The kingdom of God is for these." He reached out and touched those who were needing to be healed, those who needed to be loved. He embraced his brothers. Physical touch, friends, is so important. We know that babies who are denied physical touch in those early moments of development aren't emotionally as ready as those who have been cuddled and kissed and held in those early stages of development. And so physical touch is so important. And some people have this as their highest love language. We as a family did the questionnaire, the five love languages, and each of Rach and the kids sent it through to me. And two of our kids came up with physical touch as their highest love language. And as the text messages came in from them, as they sent them in, we're all together, I was watching it. I then looked at those two who had sent that in. They were lying on each other, head against one knee and the other one's knee, and their feet and legs going all over. I'm going, there you go, it's living itself out. They just love to be touching you. So important. Gary Chapman writes that a tender hug communicates love to any child, but it shouts love to the child whose primary love language is physical touch. Appropriate touch for children and adults can be deep expressions of love and care. It can range from the smallest touch on the shoulder to the intimacy found in a marriage relationship. Now, how can you tell if someone has this love language? Well, it's really easy, and during these times, they're the ones breaking the 1.5 metre social distancing rule often. They come up to you and like, "Woo, I'm ready." Friends, there are people in your life physical touch is really important. How we use that as an expression of love and how you might receive it if that's your love language is so important for expressing the deep love and appreciation of someone in your life.